Well, good morning. I wonder if we could turn again to our scripture from John chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Then in Isaiah 53:6, I'll just read one verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And now if we could read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then one more, Ephesians 3, starting with verse 17. Ephesians 3, 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to apprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know
the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, that's our prayer this morning, that we may know, Lord, more of you today. We thank you for this beautiful psalm. Lord, we thank you for these times together. And pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, you are our great shepherd. You we can trust with all of our beings. Lord, be with us now. Pray that you would speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name, amen. Well, saints, this is the third time in sharing the Lord as my shepherd. Last time, we got through the third verse, and praise the Lord, it's just so rich. There's so much here. I would like just to review just very briefly in just a few minutes, a few points, and then we'll go on with the rest of the psalm. Last time we talked about how the Lord restores my soul, how he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we talked how the Lord is the one that does that restoring. We talked about how the shepherd leads the sheep and doesn't drive the sheep. And we talked about the paths of righteousness that we take, are the choices that we make. We can, as those sheep, make decisions that are not really the best. The Lord gives us free will to make certain decisions. And like sheep, we can take shortcuts. We can enter into things that seem appealing and seem that which would entice us. But thank the Lord, he is faithful to lead us only in the paths of righteousness. We talked last time about sheep being cast, the cast down sheep. And basically, those who, when we're talking about the Lord restoring my soul, we talked about a cast sheep being those who had fallen and who could not get up, because one way sheep become cast is that they are lying down perhaps and roll into a little depression. And because the weight of their coats, it's just so heavy upon them that they can't stand up. And if you've ever seen a turtle on its back, I can envision that. But a turtle has a way of getting onto its feet, but sheep don't. And if the sheep is there with its legs up in the air and kind of flailing, the shepherd has to be ever vigilant to find them. The shepherd will count the sheep and know which ones are not there. And we talked last time about how the shepherd would have to, when he found the sheep, would actually have to massage the sheep's legs so that blood could be circulated back in. And then when the sheep was back on its feet, how the sheep then would then only then be able to support its own weight. So I want you to picture the care, the ever-vigilant care that the shepherd has for the sheep. Another way that the sheep can be cast, and this is directly related to us, and I believe I forgot to mention this last time, is that in addition to sheep lying down and not being able to get up, sheep can also be cast if their coats are too long. So if you've ever put on a heavy wool coat, you know how heavy that is. But a sheep, in terms of a long woolen coat, it can become a real problem for the sheep. It can become matted. It can become weighed down with burrs. It can have sticks lodged in it from the sheep going through bushes and so on. So the weight of that can actually tip a sheep over as if they're being like top heavy. And I want you to picture the sheep of old, the shepherd of old, rather, shearing those sheep. Probably the sheep didn't enjoy that process, but the shepherd knew what was best for the sheep. So the shepherd may have to wrestle a little, may have to subdue the sheep, but the shepherd was willing to do that, to shear the sheep, because he knew that only then the sheep would be able to stand on its own feet. Well, what does that have to do with us? What does wool speak of in the scriptures? It speaks of our self-life. And how, as we as sheep, can also be dragged down and cast down by things in our own self-life. But thank the Lord, as we're faithful to confess those things, as the Lord reveals His life and we walk anew in the truth that He has shown us, those things no longer weigh us down either. So in terms of application, it's a matter of that yielding of that part of self-life to the Lord. And He is faithful. He will rid us of those things that would weigh us down and cause us to become cast, provided that we let Him. He will only do those things that we allow Him to do in our lives. So, as we consider today, we're in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, picture the shepherd leading the sheep. We've talked before about the shepherd needing to know where the pastures are, and how in this particular scripture, the picture is a little bit different. It's not being led from one grazing land to a grazing land next door, perhaps, but the shepherd may have to lead the sheep over extended distances. So through some valleys, through some low places, up to the tabletop mesas that were there in that time. And those mesas were the ones that were full of that lush green pasturage that was the target of the shepherd. That's where he wanted to take the sheep. So, as we think of the shepherd leading the sheep, we have to remember the character of the sheep. Remember we said that sheep are very skittish kinds of creatures. A little rabbit bolting out of the bush is enough to startle and stampede a whole flock. But when you think of the shepherd leading the sheep through these valleys, the picture that I would like to show is that even though the way may be dangerous, there could be valleys, pathways through the valleys where there are predators waiting to nab the sheep. They could be hiding in the shadows to attack the flock. But it's said that I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So as we picture the shepherd leading the sheep, one thing to remember is that it indeed, this valley of the shadow of death is something that the shepherd leads the sheep through. It doesn't stay there, but it's a valley where they walk through. Now, I know oftentimes we use this scripture in a wonderful way to refer to our passing from this world into the next. It's a precious picture of our being at home eternally with the Lord. We do pass through and into the presence of the Lord. And that's something that we can rejoice over, because that is truly what happens to us. But another application in terms of daily living and daily trusting this great shepherd, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we are listening to the Lord working in our lives, the Holy Spirit will prompt us, and the Holy Spirit will prevent us from entering into sin and those things which would cast us down. And this is a serious matter concerning believers, because we all know what sin does in the life of the believer. It causes a separation between the believer and the Lord. In James 1, 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But thank the Lord, He's given us that Holy Spirit in residence to prompt us, to make us aware when we come close to that edge of entering into sin. But again, we have to be listening to that still small voice of the Lord. I believe that we are warned by the Holy Spirit so that we can turn away from us. Again, the Lord showing us how much He loves us. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So when we come to those times of testing, and we see that, yes, the Lord has kept me from straying where I have strayed before, that's happened in my life. And I believe if you think, Sage, you'll recognize that how the Lord does protect us in that way. And that's something that we can rejoice over, really and truly. It's a wonderful picture of the shepherd's keeping. One of my favorite scriptures way back 40 years now is in James, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." Doesn't say that He might, but it says He will flee from you. We resist, led by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will be our enabling. The Lord will allow us to be tested, and hopefully as we come out on the other side, we'll be strengthened in the Lord as a result of that. Another thing to consider in this particular verse, did you notice it's the shadow of death? It's not death itself. It's the shadow of death. And dear hearts, for there to be a shadow, guess what? There has to be light somewhere. Isn't that the truth? So thank the Lord, He is our light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that reality is why I believe the sheep can walk through that valley. They're not running helter-skelter. They're walking beside the shepherd who cares for them and who loves them. In 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 5, again a reference to God as being our light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And saints, when we think of walking in that light, I mentioned being led by the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But walking in that light is actually living in that fellowship with the Lord. Sin may interrupt that fellowship, but it doesn't change our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Thank God for that. So the Lord has made a way. We do fall. We do enter into that sin. We confess. We ask the Lord to forgive us of that. We repent. And the Lord restores that fellowship. So that fellowship can remain unbroken if we truly repent and confess. So, when we think of, again, the shepherd leading the sheep, walking with them, it's a picture, again, of beautiful, trusting fellowship with the shepherd. They fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord is with the sheep. The Lord is with us. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Other precious verses that we have. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now here we have a picture of the discipline of the shepherd with the rod. It's used for protection as well. We know that David rescued sheep from the bear and from the lion. He probably used a rod, maybe his slingshot, I'm not sure. But certainly the rod is one that the shepherd used to offer protection and discipline. And it speaks of authority also. It speaks of the one having control of us truly has the authority of the Lord. In Ezekiel, we know that when the sheep passed under that rod, in chapter 20, it means that the shepherd would basically count the flock and bring the faithful into the blessings that he had for them. So one thing that the rod does is enables the shepherd to count the sheep, and it also conveys that they are under his absolute care, his protection. It's another wonderful, comforting thought that we have of the rod of the shepherd. The staff is actually the shepherd's crook. And as when you think about different devices, if you will, instruments that were used in care of animals, according to our brother in this book, the crook is the only the thing that the shepherd carries, rather, that's used with sheep alone. Okay, it was made especially for sheep. It's not used for any other animal. And when you think of the shepherd with the crook, again, it's something that identifies the shepherd from being someone else. The shepherd had that particular crook. That was the shepherd's instrument. Again, the shepherd's crook was used to show care and compassion for the sheep. In the natural, back in the old days, the shepherd's crook could be used a number of ways to show his concern and his care and his protection for the sheep. It can be used to lift a newborn lamb that had become separated from its mother. It can be used to, if a sheep has become entangled in bushes, the shepherd can use that to help the sheep get out of the briars or whatever that was holding it. The shepherd would use it to inspect and examine each sheep. Now, when you think about that, doesn't the Lord do that in our own lives? He knows each one of us. He doesn't apply just general things to our lives because he knows us, each one, by name. He will work by his Holy Spirit with things that we need him to work on if we surrender to him. Things that benefit me, he wouldn't work in Jerry's life because he knows me that well. So the shepherd and his crook, basically, is a way to remember how the shepherd would inspect each sheep, make sure that they are free from sores, from disease, and so on. And it can also be used to guide sheep. And I think this is a wonderful picture as well. Through the valley of the shadow of death, leading in the paths of righteousness. As a shepherd would walk by the sheep, and they were following him, often all he had to do was take that crook and just reach out and touch the side of a sheep. And that sheep then would turn the way the shepherd touched him on his side. So in terms of leading in the paths of righteousness, that was something that gave the sheep direction, the way the shepherd wanted them to go. So, again, another picture of what the shepherd has for us. The shepherd's rod, when we're talking about the rod and the staff, we know that in the Old Testament, how the rod symbolized the word of God when Moses went before Pharaoh and had his rod. And it was as if when he said, "Thus saith the Lord," the rod was shown. And essentially, the rod then was used not only to show that he was there in God's authority, but it was used to show the children of Israel God's presence all throughout those journeys, those 40 years. So as the staff was used to benefit and comfort the sheep, we also have that marvelous comforter in the Holy Spirit. So we have the authority as represented by the rod. We have his wonderful comforter in the staff, so far as that picture is concerned. So praise the Lord. The shepherd uses those again as instruments for the sheep's good. He uses his authority. He uses the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. So, come to another verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This is another picture of the tremendous care that the shepherd has for the sheep. I've already mentioned last time, I believe, how the shepherd would go before the sheep and scout out the grazing areas, scout out the pastures, make sure there is not poisonous weeds in there, things that could make the sheep sick if they were to eat of them. But also in preparing the table, we realize that the shepherd did other things also. It's not just a matter of the shepherd leading the sheep, just wakes up one day and decides to take them to another pasture. The shepherd went before them to prepare the way, preparing the table before me. The shepherd might have to take minerals up there for the sheep to have. Salt comes to mind as something that animals need. The shepherd would actually scout out those pasture lands to make sure that if there are predators there, the shepherd could drive them away, could trap them, could hunt them perhaps. But picture the shepherd making that area safe for the sheep. Another thing he would do would be to clear out the, if there was water there and the streams had become filled with brush and whatever, the shepherd would work very diligently to clear the streams so that the sheep would have unencumbered access to the water that they needed for life. Sometimes, if the shepherd had been there before, he may have made dams and streams to have pools of water for the sheep. And if the dams had become broken, then the shepherd would work to rebuild those so that, again, the sheep would have a safe haven, not only to eat, but to drink as well. So the picture that I have in that, again, is ever diligent care that the shepherd has for the sheep. In preparing the table, if we go back to the verse, it says, in the presence of my enemies. So the presence of my enemies speaks of warfare. It speaks of something going on that wants to harm the sheep. But yet, if we are able to have a table prepared for us, it's a bit of a different picture. It speaks of peace. It speaks of the rest that the shepherd can give. In the logical sense, in battle, it speaks of warfare, of battles being fought, not by the one doing the eating, but the one watching over them. And thank God we know that the Lord is our advocate, and the victory is won by what he has accomplished on the cross for us. So in terms of that aspect of preparing a table before me in the presence of our enemies, turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. as much as we are willing to yield our thought life, as much as we are willing to bring every thought into captivity, saints, the Lord will change those thoughts if they are not towards Him. Thank the Lord for that. That's the warfare that we face. But we know that the one who is fighting for us is far greater than the one who is coming after us. In that we can rejoice. Another aspect of the table we just celebrated for the first hour together. And that would take an eternity to share about the Lord's love for His sheep as shown by the table, the Lord's table. It's a sign of the covenant that the Lord has made for us, made with us, rather. In John, the verses that we read, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So as we see that scripture and that aspect of his covenant, initially that scripture made reference to the Jews. And then we see the Gentiles being included in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye once who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, made near by the blood of Christ. So we see his death for us as well. And another familiar scripture, John 3:16. We've known that since we were children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, again, those familiar verses. But if we could just meditate for a second on the amazing love for us that those scriptures show. Familiar scriptures, but amazing love that he has for us. The next part of this scripture, thou hast anointed my head with oil. Again, care that the shepherd has for the sheep. I mentioned before that sheep were tormented when we talked about being made to lie down in green pastures, how the sheep would not lie down if they are tormented by bugs and by flies and things like that that would buzz around their heads. Actually, flies, certain kinds of flies, would want to lay eggs in the shepherd, in the sheep's nose. And when you think about that, when the eggs would hatch, how that would be a real source of torment for the sheep. But the shepherd would anoint the sheep's head, would keep those bugs away, and again, just give the sheep peace. Another thing that was particular to sheep is that they carried disease, and that they would spread disease by kind of rubbing their heads together, rubbing their noses together. So not only did the shepherd have to anoint the sheep's heads to keep the bugs away, but he would have to examine the sheep to make sure that they were not covered with disease and would not spread the disease to the whole flock. And when disease was found, if you can visualize, the shepherd then dipping the sheep, the whole body, into this vat of medicine. Now, I've never tried to pick up a sheep, but I can't imagine that it would be an easy task to lift a sheep who probably didn't want to go somewhere and dip the sheep into a vat, taking care to submerge the sheep's head so that the medicine would be completely all over the sheep's body. But that's the care, saints, that the shepherd had for the sheep. He would go through that just as he would shear the sheep. And they might not like to be shorn. The shepherd would do that. because that's how he cared for them. That's how he showed his love for them. So the other thing that was custom back in Bible times, anointing heads with oil was something when a guest would arrive, the host would anoint the head of the guest to show respect and to show love for them. So if we could turn to John chapter 14 for a minute. John chapter 14, and I would like to start with verse 16. This has to do with, again, the Lord anointing us with the oil of his Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord told his disciples in these verses what to expect. But saints, not only did he tell them what to expect, but how the Lord told them that just conveys so much of his love that he has for them, that he has for us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Do you see the love of the chief shepherd in those words? Again, he did not want them to fear. We've talked about how the shepherd would do his utmost to keep the sheep from being scattered, from being afraid. And certainly the Lord comforted the disciples then. He certainly was not going to leave them alone. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So again, we see in those days, if you were a guest in someone's home, it was customary for the host to pour drink into your cup and let a little spill over the edge. And that was to show the guest that as long as you were in the host's home, he would abide for you. I mean, he would provide for you in an abundant way. Just a way, again, of showing honor to the guest. And speaking of abundance that the Lord gives, oh, saints, John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The unsearchable riches of Christ have been given to us. That's his love for us. That's the love the great shepherd has for us. Ephesians 3, starting with verse 14, says, For this cause I bear my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Saints, how many times has it been your experience that you have prayed, earnestly sought the Lord in a situation, asked the Lord for a certain thing to happen in your life, and lo and behold, when the Lord answered that prayer, indeed it was more than you had imagined. How he showers us with that love. his concern for us, his care for us, his abundant blessing is something that we can truly testify and just rejoice in. And finally, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, I'm not sure that we have time to consider all the truths in this particular verse. I certainly can't do it in 15 minutes. But saints, again, I want us to reflect on how much of the Lord's love for us is shown here. Let's turn to Psalms 103, just to put this in the context of some verses. 103, and I'll start with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I began this series by talking about how the Lord indeed has given us so much in salvation. And indeed this speaks to us, and that is a gift that we really truly cannot comprehend. But the burden that I've had on my heart is that we trust the Lord with the small things, and in so doing, be truly transformed into his likeness. The Lord will only do as much as we will allow him to do. And it's a matter of that yielding as part of the mercy and goodness that the Lord shows us. If we turn to 1 Peter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Thank the Lord, he does keep us. He has given us that Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, to lead us in those paths that he wants us to take. In Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's what we have, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. A portion of that. Darby wrote about Psalm 23, said some wonderful things. To the end, I'm sorry, the end of our Lord's dealing will be our dwelling with Him forever. Thank the Lord for that truth. He also said in another place in reference to Psalm 23, the comfort of Psalm 23 is not in what Jehovah gives, but in Jehovah Himself. Isn't that precious? The comfort of Psalm 23 is not in what Jehovah gives, but in Jehovah Himself. So this great shepherd who leads us to Himself, who loves us and who keeps us, if we can picture His constant care, His laying down His life for the sheep, He is ever, ever faithful to us, just as the shepherds of old, even more. The great shepherd is the one who not only leads us to those pastures that we talked about, but the Lord is our shepherd, and He is that pasture for us. He is those green pastures set before us. The Holy Spirit that He's given us is that oil of anointing that we talked about, our indwelling guide through this life. When we think of the still waters that are mentioned in this psalm, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in that still small voice. And we can picture the Holy Spirit as those still waters coming down and speaking to us and guiding us and leading us in those paths of righteousness. So, saints, to recap what the Lord has laid on my heart, I wanted us to see that indeed what the Lord impressed me with is that we indeed are sheep. We've talked about how sheep are helpless creatures. They're defenseless. Actually, they're kind of pitiful. They're easily led astray. Aren't we like that? Sheep are utterly dependent on the care of the shepherd. And in the hands of a loving shepherd like we have, the sheep are completely content in His care, totally committed to Him. And the shepherd's constant care is needed for their very lives. Without that care, the sheep would perish. So far as seeing the Lord as our shepherd, a shepherd's life is one that is truly laid down for the sheep. Truly laid down, 24 hours a day. That's the way the Lord is through the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. When we consider all the different things that the shepherd did for his sheep, we see that as a wonderful picture in this psalm of the shepherd's, great shepherd's, love for us. And we can absolutely trust our Lord with every part of our lives. The big things as well as the little things. Sometimes the little things can count up, mount up, and keep us from truly walking as we should. But as the shepherd would shear the sheep, when we confess those to the Lord, He will rid us of those things and make it possible, again, saints, for us to be transformed into His image. So I do rejoice in the insights the Lord gave our brother in A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I'd like to conclude with some thoughts about the songs that we've been singing. Turn with me to John chapter 21. Verse 25. John 21, 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, every one I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What I picture in this, saints, when we go before the Lord, when we see the Lord face to face, what if He's holding a book? Not about me, but it says, my life is shown in Glenn. Not to exalt me, but saints, each one of us, my life, is shown by Maury. What a wonderful picture that is. That the Lord would be pleased with our lives and the way that He has worked in our lives and the way that we have been a blessing to Him. And in a practical sense, when I considered this aspect of coming before the Lord and having that life review, if you will, that book of the Lord in my life, I don't want a small book. I don't want just a short 25 pager. Isn't that what we all want? As we come before the Lord and we have allowed Him to work in our lives day and day and day and year, transforming us into His image. Many dealings. The Lord revealed to me so many times I had run away from Him. So many times I had preferred the flesh and did not surrender to Him. But we see in this psalm how that great shepherd truly desires all of our hearts, all of us to be totally dependent upon Him. And He can do that work. He will only do as much as we let Him. So, saints, it really is up to us whether we have a 25-page book or whether we have a really thick document that shows the Lord's work in our lives. We sang three songs, and as we began to get ready for the ministry, I want to read some of those words. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. We sang as the deer panteth for the water, You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You. I love You more than any other, so much more than anything. I want You more than gold or silver. Only You can satisfy. Today, be Thou my vision. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always, Thou and Thou only first in my heart. So the Lord would have us examine what we say, what we sing. And I believe the Lord would show us when those words are not true in our lives, and that He would send the Holy Spirit for us to turn those things over to Him. Because as our great shepherd, He does care for us in that way. And it is only by doing that can we be transformed into His likeness. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the beauty of Your word. Thank You, Lord, for just revealing to us another aspect of Your love for us. Lord, indeed, the unsearchable riches of Christ You have laid before us. And Lord, may we be able to apprehend even more today how much You love us. how much you have given us. And Lord, may we truly walk with you, Lord, in a way that says, indeed, you are first in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen.